Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We are on the 30th Psalm, Psalm 30. So that means we're 20% of the way through the Psalms. Yeah, there's a lot of Psalms, no doubt. And so this is a relatively short one, 12 verses. We'll see how far we can get. It has a title, and it says, A Psalm of David. Okay. But then it has more to the title, and this is really interesting. This is where you've got to be aware. I guess I would say careful, but when I say careful, it sounds like some evil is about to happen. No, not that. But you want to be aware. You want to pay attention to where we don't learn things incorrectly. I usually read from the ESV, the English Standard Version, but I have the King James open, the New American Standard, and the Lexham just side by side here. The ESV says this, A Psalm of David. A song at the dedication of the temple. Well, the second I hear of temple and I read temple, I'm usually thinking of the Temple of Solomon, right? But the Temple of Solomon wasn't built during the time of David. It was built after David lived. His son Solomon built it. So it's definitely not that temple. It's definitely not the temple that was there when Jesus was alive, Herod's temple, okay? As a matter of fact, there was no temple. There was a tabernacle. There was the Mosaic tabernacle, okay? Tabernacle of Moses. And then David himself pitched a tent, as the scripture says. He pitched a tent, and he brought the Ark of the Covenant into his tent. You know, he didn't put it in Moses' tabernacle, in Moses' tent. He put it in his tent. And that's still one of the most amazing mysteries in Scripture to me, because we're not told why. I talk about this all the time. But apparently it was approved by God, because God didn't strike him dead. David had extended times of worship, like 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for years going on in that tent that he pitched with the actual Ark of the Covenant there. And David went in and out before it when he wanted to, apparently. That's really intriguing, because in the Mosaic Tabernacle, only the high priest is allowed to go in, and only one day a year, and only after the proper procedure and etiquette. God made that very clear and gave detail about the sacrifices that had to be made to purify the priest, purify the people, to purify everything before the priest went in before God. So here it says, a song of the dedication of the temple. And so I thought, well, let me check these other places out. Well, sure enough, the Authorized Version, the King James says, is a song at the dedication of the house of David. Of the house of David. Now, when you read David's life, which we did within the past year, you see that David wound up, when he became king, building a nice house for himself. And that was the reason that David was motivated to build something to the Lord, because he says, I'm sitting in this house of cedar and cypress, and God's dwelling in the tent. Well, God really wasn't dwelling in the tent, but we know what he meant by that. And so he built this great house. So is it the dedication of that house that this was written? Or could it be that it was the dedication? Because it literally is just a Hebrew word for house. It's used for house, shelter, abode. Sometimes it's figuratively referring to human bodies, sometimes to Sheol. Sometimes the land of Ephraim is always context, rules, and helps us interpret what the meaning is of it, right? But we're not told. The New American Standard says the dedication of the house. The Lexham says the dedication of the house. So I'm more inclined to think that it's the house of David, whether it be the tent that he pitched to where he could bring in the Ark of the Covenant and worship, or maybe even his own personal house. As we read it, and we'll see, it's a very personal psalm for the most part. There's one part where he alludes and says, hey, y'all worship the same way y'all worship with me. We get that. He does that all the time. But it's not a corporate type of thing, as you see when Solomon dedicated the temple, all the various things that the people swore they would do this, et cetera, et cetera. It's a very personal thing. So let's just listen to it. Here's Psalm 30, verse 1. David says this, I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. So David has been saying in all these Psalms, and I'm saying all loosely, you know what I mean, that we've looked at the first 29 Psalms, quite often he's speaking of his enemies. Quite often he's calling upon the Lord to save him from his enemies, to save him from imminent death. Now he's saying, Lord, I'm going to extol you. And extol literally means to raise you up high, to exalt you, acknowledge you as the one to be lifted up. I'm going to extol you, O Lord. Why? For you've drawn me up. Why? Because you have not let my foes, my enemies, rejoice over me. Remember how David had said that and said that and said that? So we see that it's a time when David has been victorious. It's apparently a time where David is no longer fleeing before his enemies, and he has time to build a house, whether it's the tent unto the Lord or his own personal abode. He has time to do this, and he wants to thank God for it. And so you see, I think verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, and a little verse 4, sort of an allusion to it. David's going to make this declaration. O Lord, he says, O Lord, you've drawn me up. O Lord, you've have not let my foes rejoice over me. Verse 2, O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. Oh, well, that's interesting. Yeah. And it literally is the word heal, to make healthful, to heal somebody. David cried to the Lord, whether it's the healing of being set free from the enemies and the oppressive ones, or if he had a physical problem. Regardless, he says, Lord, I cried to you. You help me. Verse 3, O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol, okay, literally from the grave, from the underworld. You restored me to life from among those who would go down to the pit. And there again, the pit is just a picture of Sheol. And he's saying, you brought me up, brought my soul up from that. And we've seen several Psalms where David was just crying out within his soul, his seat of emotions. And he was pretty well convinced that his life was coming to an end. And he cried to the Lord, and he cried to the Lord. Now he's giving thanks to the Lord because the Lord has restored his life, preserved his life, kept his life. Verse 4, sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. So now David is calling for the saints, the holy ones, to do what? To sing praises to the Lord. And in the title of this thing, it says, A Psalm of David, a song at the dedication of the house of David. This was actually described as a song. I'm not too, maybe the first time we've seen that, I don't remember, in the Psalms. But he's calling for the people now in verse 4 to sing praises to the Lord. O you his saints. Saints means his godly ones. The Lexham translates it as faithful ones. Well, okay. You know. And then give thanks to his holy name. Listen to this. King James says, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Well, that's good. Okay. New American, and give thanks to his holy name. Okay. The ESV, give thanks to his holy name. Lexham, and give thanks to his holy fame. Fame? F-A-M-E, not name. And that's, I can see why they did that, because the word actually means, the Hebrew word means memorial, remembrance, to give memory. And King James says remembrance of his holiness. I can see why the Lexham says give thanks to his holy fame. You're remembering, yes, his holy name and all that there is and all this entailed within God. But anyway, I guess that's one of the reasons I find it so useful to read 3 or 4 of these English translations as you're going through. Hey, guys, do this today. Sing praise to the Lord. Give thanks to him. Again, I'm Dale. I'll see you on the next episode. Goodbye.